Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello and welcome to the Niler 9 podcast. It is a festival special on this week's show. We're going to be talking about All Together Now and my experience, your experience, our readers' experience, our supporters' experiences at the festival in Waterford. All Together Now's fourth year in Waterford, Curramore in Waterford. A lot was happening over the weekend and a lot of things went down and a lot of things were infected by weather and whatnot. On the Good Ship Niler 9 this week, of course, as every other week, is Andrea Cleary. Thankfully, untouched by weather. Andrea, how are you?
Ahoy, hoy.
I'm very well. With that one, but anyway.
I loved it. I'm good, yeah. We're going to be hearing about a lot of experiences of All Together Now. Mine is not going to be one of them. I did not go to that festival, so I'm much like
Let's
the last
start.
Time we did this.
What did you do for the weekend?
What did I do for the weekend? I went over to a friend of the show, Carlo, to his house, him and his lovely wife, to meet their new cat. And they made us homemade pizza and we brought a cake and we met the cat, whose name is Arthur, and he's fabulous. And I did PhD work for the rest of the weekend, but
awesome.
I had the nice cozy experience. What morning was it? I think it
Saturday.
Was Saturday morning. Yeah. Saturday morning, woke up from the sound of the rain. It was that heavy. And I was like,
yeah,
ooh, I'm happy to be in bed. I threw out some sympathy into the universe and some good wishes and well wishes to everybody that was down in Waterford. But I was like, I'm happy to be in my bed right now. And that continued over the weekend when I was tap-tapping, working away, rain against my window. I was like, this is nice. Not even Lancome is worth this. And I love Lancome, but no. But I'm excited to hear about it because I've seen some of the responses we've got from people. Very mixed. Overall seems nice.
Yeah.
So excited to learn.
Okay, well, I guess I'll start with my own experiences because that seems the best place to start. So All Together Now, it was the fourth year of the festival in Curramore and Waterford. There was some, I mean, we've had a terrible month of weather in the last while, so I don't think anyone was expecting anything crappy.
Wettest July in recorded history.
Yeah, so I don't, like, we weren't expecting sun splitting the festival site, anything like that really, but people were bracing themselves for sure. And it turns out what they got was pretty much all seasons. It was an all seasons pitch, all seasons festival. Sunny some days, it was raining horizontally other days. It was windy one morning, one particular morning. So yeah, we had a bit of everything. There was a
Tell
lot of
Tell me
mud.
About the footwear, Niall. What did you...
The which?
The footwear. What did you bring with you?
Oh, listen, for my first time probably ever, I got a pair of hiking boots.
Excellent.
I was so glad I had them. They were really comfortable. I spent 40 quid on them. Not much, like.
Didn't have to break them and in. They didn't
kept
your
me
feet.
Warm and dry. Well, I wore them a week before a little bit, but not
oh,
much.
Clever,
but,
man.
Yeah. I was delighted. Delighted with myself.
And did you see many going around difficult. In their Converse or in the wet?
Like? I saw a few in white pairs of runners and stuff and Converse. And I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I mean, I just can't wear wellies anymore. And that's like, I've avoided wellies. So I was like, I need something else. So yeah, this year's Altogether Now was a really good place to break in a pair of hiking boots. Because
I'm so happy
ridiculous.
To hear that.
Yeah, I mean, it started raining on the Friday evening. Lumo Club was on at the Belonging Bandstand and the weather started to turn around that time, making it the third year in a row. We've been rained on in a row.
Always bringing
and,
the rain.
So difficult to keep people there when it's outdoors and it's raining, and it's a big area that Belonging Bandstand, so it was a tough one. Okay, so I started the day, I actually went down to the restaurant to start it off on
yes.
the day.
Tell me about
the
this.
Crudo restaurant from Sandymount was doing like a pop-up tent, so mostly Italian food, stuff like that. So it was kind of a nice different way of starting a festival. Yeah, it was the food was fine, nice company, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, there was plenty happening. I think the rain really hit. Like we were gone from 9:30 till 11:00. We were clashing with Jessie Ware and Lancome. There was so much on that night, but a lot of it, you know, it soon became obvious when 11:00 hit that there was a lot of people who were going to be in a tent. Mm. So I guess the thing about that is there's actually not that many tents this year. So
that was going to be my next
question.
This festival, so out of you, out of Lumo, Jessie Ware and Lancome, were any of you in a tent?
We were not in a tent. Jessie Ware was on a main stage. Lancome in the big tent.
Okay.
There is, and one of the other tents from last year was turned into the Lovely Days Guinness stage, and that's an outdoor stage now. Mm. So that was another one. We were on an outdoor stage, the Well, indoors, mostly outdoors, actually, funny enough. So some are covered in the woods and stuff like that. So a bit more forgiving, but certainly it's a gamble that has paid off for the festival before when the weather's been really lovely to have a mostly outdoors festival. But when it's raining like it was on Friday night, it was very, very difficult. So yeah. You know, I think I went to see Over Mono on Friday night, and it was one of those jam-packed tents where everyone was trying to get in out of the rain. I think Loyal Carner probably suffered a little bit because quite a lot of people were sheltering away from the main stage. And Overmono were brilliant. Actually watched it from the side stage, thought it was because we were able to get up there on a rare occasion, so I was like, okay, let's do this. And because the tent was so packed, but really, really great set, really brilliant. They brought out Dave Ball from Photos I Love, of course. Anytime they've been in Ireland lately, they've done that. So there was a lot I missed, really, because of, you know, the rain and things like that. We stuck around for Todd Turge afterwards in that tent, and that suffered a little bit as well. It was nice. It was kind of, people just got back out again and went off. So I think I ended up in the woods that night. And so I really didn't see a lot of music on the first night, because the nature of you playing something, even if it's an hour and a half, whatever it is, you'll always end up missing loads, and then you're kind of catching up a bit. So Annie Mac and people like that were playing, missed all that. So yeah, I think it was the Saturday morning was possibly the most eventful sleep I've ever had at a festival in a tent. You know, usually I'm pretty good at putting up a tent, and I know my tent is pretty reliable.
I've never camped with you, Niall, but I would trust you to put up a tent. You have that vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say what I was missing for this on this occasion was a couple of pegs, and that was ended up being pretty crucial. I woke up at probably like 7:30 in the morning, and the top sheet of my tent was completely blown off and hanging on by a thread on one side. Uh-oh. All the pegs were up off the ground, and they were just lying around the place because the wind was that ferocious that's what was happening. Yeah, so I've never had a problem with a tent before, and I had a couple of hours basically where I was trying to go to sleep and being woken up by the wind. It was like somebody was pushing your tent, and while they were walking by, it was that level of like,
okay,
this is kind of mad. Do you know what I mean? Like it was insane in that way. And you were like, I've never experienced that before, where it was so hardcore in terms of wind. Hardcore. Yeah, very, very difficult. I was trying to just get to sleep. I had earplugs and all that stuff. But it was just, you know, in the back of your mind, you're just worried that you're going to blow, your tent's going to blow away. And that's quite difficult to relax then. And it happened again. I pegged everything down again, and it all blew off. Even like some of the, on the inside, you know, you have like, you can tie the poles to the tent, top tent sheet to the poles. It was still going. So I had to really tie those like in a way I couldn't even get them off. And that was fine. But yeah, just I'd never had that experience before at a festival where it wasn't the people around you waking you up. It was the wind. And I got out and I could see people. Saw Michael Fry in the distance doing the same to his tent. There were people just around trying to fix their tents at like 8 a.m. or 10 a.m. And like, I just stayed in bed.
I had a similar experience altogether now last year, except I seemed to be one of the few that was having it happen to me. I was just in this like wind tunnel where I was camped, and it was the same thing. I'd woken up really early, like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Because I'd gone to bed early. Barely slept because of the sound of the wind and feeling like the tent was going to take off and just take me with it. And then when I woke up the next morning, like loads of the pegs were up out of the ground. Some of the pegs were missing. And I was like, has someone stolen pegs from me? And yeah, it was a similar thing of like, I'm not going to sleep because I just need to go find some heavy things to put in this tent. So I ended up like going over to my friend's tent, asking her, can I have like all of her cans so that I could just like place them around like in the four corners of the tent so that it would like anchor me down so I could sleep. Horrendous. Yeah. So yeah, but I mean, last year we didn't have winds anything like what you guys had this year, so I can imagine it was
It was a lot. And I heard that Independence was the same. So yeah, the staging blew down, or some of the signs blew down, stuff like that. And when I got up the next day and walked around the site, you could see, first of all, there was a lot of mud. There was a lot of mud. It was already there the night before, but it was really, it had been coagulated by then.
Yeah,
and
the cold light of day, that first walk over to the toilets, you don't need mud.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
That was bad. That was a bad one. So yeah, I think it just, there was two things about this festival. I think the mud was unfortunately one of the main themes and takeaways of the festival, because it was everywhere. And in fairness, and a lot of people have said this already, there didn't seem to be a lot of mulch or wood chip down or whatever you call it to counteract that, especially in the really busy areas between the campsites and the main stages. And then the lovely day stage, for example, was kind of sloped downhill. I went there first to see a bit of Cruel Sister, and it was just like wet muck. It was like, I felt like, you know, those videos of Glastonbury, you're like, this could get bad.
Like from the past. The rains
again. Yeah. It's like, I thought we didn't do this anymore. Yeah. I thought we were like past this.
Yeah.
But no,
accessibility and things like that, it's not good.
Yeah. And those points are raised as well by a lot of people. I heard some stories about people falling over in the mud. A couple of broken ankles were mentioned some points. Whether, you know, people with accessibility issues or who need clean access, clear access in order to move around the site, found it quite difficult. So much mud. I think the only thing is, and like, yeah, I don't think there was enough straw or wood put down to stop that, to counteract that. But it does kind of affect your festival experience when you're like, I want to go and hang around and go to different things. And when you have like a good amount of stages like they do here at this festival, it's hard then to like, you kind of miss out on things. So Saturday was, I saw loads of stuff on Saturday. I saw really good time. They were good. I saw Lisa O'Neill on the main stage. She kicked off what I saw a lot of, and I've heard, well, that was the main one I heard. Lisa O'Neill doing Black Boys on Mopeds from Sinead O'Connor. Later on that day, Villagers also covered Nothing Compares to You. And I think Saint Sister as well. The Sunday did Mandinka as well. It was also a Sinead O'Connor tribute, which we'll get to in a bit. So Saturday, really, I think the main things for me, I saw a bit of Claire Beck on the Bourne Social stage, and that was great crack. Really good, fun. disco DJ set from her, as ever. She did the same last year. Really, really good. I went to see Black Country New Road.
Oh,
now
tell me.
That band are so weird and interesting to me. But like, after, I was like, I need to see these bands. Because last time I saw them was January 2020, and it was when they had the singer. Now they don't. There was a lot of fiddling around with the sound beforehand, and then they started playing. And I just felt like I was, what we were all saying, like, I felt like I'm watching a band doing a rehearsal, but a school band. Like, it kind of was just really, like, people were taking different songs and singing, and it just all felt a bit like, I'm not sure if it's for me now.
Okay. Anymore. So they were still performing the songs that had the vocals, but they were just taking the vocals, but not necessarily.
Well, I don't know. I think they're all new ones. So they have this Live at Bush Hall album from earlier this year, and I think all those songs on it are brand new, but they're live versions. So that's what they're performing mostly at gigs. So live versions of live songs. There's no recorded versions other than the live versions. I found it quite like hard going, and like some of it was interesting, then some of it was just like, I don't know. It's like some indie band from the early 2000s suddenly reignited and reanimated on stage or something like that. So I think the big things for me on Saturday were Sugar Babes was really fun. But while it was really fun and everyone was singing along, it did speak to one of the problems that was noticed at the main stage, especially the lack of clarity and of the sound of the main stage, the arena. A lot of people, I'll get to some of the comments later on about what people have said. I put a shout out basically on Instagram in a poll, Instagram questions, and on podcasts at niler9.com. So thank you for everyone for contacting us, and also the Discord as well. So, and Twitter. So basically, I have too many replies from people to get through, but I can share some top line stuff with you. But for me, my personal highlights on Saturday with Sugar Babes, because it was just so much fun. I think a lot of people felt the same way. It was, and even people who weren't expecting it were like, wow, didn't expect that to be that much fun. Caribou later that night. I mean, it's my third time seeing Caribou in the last 2 years, and it still holds up. It's a brilliant live show, and that was a main stage show as well this time. Jamie XX was on the main stage later on that night, and he was doing something really interesting, which I wasn't aware of before this. He had these like dancers who were kind of going through the crowd, and they had a camera on them the whole time. So at first it looked like there was just a camera going through the crowd, but it was very obvious after you were paying attention to what they were doing that like these people were hired to dance through the crowd and stuff. So it was just it was kind of a cool thing, because it was like totally unique to the festival. There was an engagement between like a main stage DJ set and what the crowd was doing, and you could see people moving through the crowd and all that kind of stuff. So
that sounds,
I really
like
enjoyed
something
that
for a live DVD, sort of Chemical Brothers in Japan, was it?
Yeah,
sort of
maybe, that kind of vibe.
We'll
all right,
see, we'll see a few faces pop up in some kind of like live show thing that he puts
well
on.
I think it's the same dancers that did the Jamie XX video from a while ago. There's a Belfast based artist, I think, who's involved in one of the videos for one of his recent songs, and I think the same people are involved in this. So that was really good. I saw a bit of Fight Like Apes again as well, really fun. I went to Billy Bragg because my pal is a big Billy Bragg fan. Not totally for me, but I appreciated it all the same. Brick Nasty, ended up seeing them again. Great live band, one of the best Irish live bands at the moment. And I saw a lot of Daphne set. So Dan Snaith from Caribou also playing as Daphne in the big tent on the Saturday night till 3 a.m. So that was kind of the big, big ending. So loads of other stuff I missed. I think as a festival as a whole, there was a couple of things this year that I personally missed out on. So say last year and the year before, they had the Arcadia. So there's a lovely thoroughfare that takes you from the house right up to the top of the hill where you turn into the main stage. At the top of that hill this year, there was very little there other than the inflatable church, where previously the Arcadia area was there and it was lighting up the sky, and it was kind of the anchor of the festival. That was moved into near a campsite. So it means that I never got there. A lot of people, I'm sure, didn't like pass by it. You had to really go and find it. And I thought that was a bit of a pity, because it really left that area lacking in something at the top because of the weather. Then that didn't obviously help. There was a lot of mud and stuff there. So
was that the,
it became this kind of no man's land between stages.
Was that the really small area, like tucked in right beside the house? And you kind of go,
No.
Okay, no, I'm thinking of something else. Never mind.
No, it was the top of the hill and like with the fire breathing and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
So where the DJs were playing mostly from the Arcadia Bug. And there was a couple of other things like that, like the ping pong disco from last year, which was a lot of fun near the main stage, was moved out to the campsite, along with Ailu na Gra, which is a new part that happened at the festival this year, a Galway festival that was kind of a festival within a festival. While I understand like moving things out to the campsite makes sense in terms of reducing bottlenecks, it does mean that passing those areas becomes less frequent for a lot of people, and therefore probably you get less footfall overall, all those kind of things. Yeah, I think the those things, like there was a lovely vibe at the neighborhood wine bar, funny enough, like, and then that was down towards the All Curious Minds where a lot of the talks were happening and stuff like that. So that was there was lots of stuff happening down there that how do you pronounce it, Shanakika, how do you say that word? Don't know. I actually knew how to say it last week. I think my brain is broken now since. But that brand of it's stories. People can get up and tell stories. And that was down by that area as well. But I think I ended up leaving on the Sunday afternoon because I had a lift home and I was not reliant. I didn't have my own car this time. And that was fine. I was happy with that. Meant I missed a lot. I missed a lot of stuff. I missed Iggy Pop. I missed James Murphy's DJ set, which I heard loads of great things about. Big Pig. Yeah, things like that. Laboon were on later. Kelly Lee Owens, I missed that as well. So the reason I left, I think I was just happy with what I had, the 2 days, two long nights as well. Not as young as I used to be, I guess. And I was like, well, that's fine. I think, yeah, my experience of it, I think it's a great festival. I really like it. It's the best of the big festivals, but I think there were some things missing this year in terms of the organizational stuff around the festival. We had quite a hard time. I think the mud was the main thing. There's no reason why you can't stock up on straw and wood chips throughout the year and make it easier for people. You know, and then moving things around is something that festivals do all the time. I get it. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. I think for a lot of people, some of those moving things, like our moving Arcadia to the campsite, it really removed a real buzz of the main thoroughfare of the festival. And I think that was missed for me personally, but maybe other people who spent most of the time in the campsite were like, great, there's a dance area near us now all the time. It's an Irish festival. Weather is always going to be an issue. You have to have contingency plans for it. And it didn't seem like there was a lot. I think when we were going out on Sunday, I saw a couple of cars stuck in mud. And there was somebody going around helping people, but they didn't have a tow bar, for example. And so you're like, okay. Like my pal ended up pulling someone out of the mud because he had something that could operate as a tow bar, even though it wasn't. Like, so, you know, it's those kind of things. And then on the way out, there was a security who hadn't a clue how to let us even out of the festival. They were sending us around back to the car park. So a whole lot of people were just like driving out what they thought was an exit and being sent the same way. And they were finding themselves right back in the muddy, swamped festival. I don't think that was great. But look, I mean, I think most people had a good time. I always have a good time.
What about the
festivals.
Traffic going in altogether now is kind of
no
famous
issues at
for
all.
That.
Didn't encounter anything.
Great.
I think there was
finally sorted that.
We
then.
Left Friday at 12 o'clock. Well, it was sorted last year as well, as far as I was concerned. Did you hear anything about last year?
No, we got stuck a bit last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had no issues. We were left early. I think we were like, what time were we down there? About 4 o'clock on the Friday. So, no issues at all whatsoever. Easy to get in for me, I found.
Great.
On that side, very much. But I was going in through the accreditation area. So, campsite was kind of over, was where the car was. So that's handy enough. Mm. But, you know, it's not like that for everyone. So we had a lot of feedback from people about who were there. I will read out some comments maybe from the emails first that we got. Kieran says, hi Niall, despite the weather on Friday and mud all weekend, it was a great festival again, and we just got on with it with wellies abound. Boutique camping does help too, and it was well organized and no queue for the men's showers. Very friendly atmosphere, no aggro, and car parks was for very near, and no trekking up the hill with our gear. Saw lots, but missed lots. Highlights, caribou, sugar babes, beak, Barry Can't Swim, Blankham, Iggy, Donald Deneen, Kellyanne Byrne. Not impressed that Max Richter shut down music in the bars in the middle of Kellyanne's brilliant set in the sunshine. So Max Richter was playing with the RTE Orchestra, and I think there was a must have been agreement that nearby stages had to stop because it was the kind of music it was.
Okay.
So that's, she apparently had another half an hour to play, so they were good with that. Yeah, I heard a lot about the Lancum set on the Friday night. Funny enough, like, I think there was a lot of people who said they couldn't hear it. But also, it's come up as one of the highlights. I got 199 responses on Instagram to your my highlights and lowlights. What were your highlights and lowlights? And Lancum popped up a lot in terms of lowlights from people who couldn't hear, and then highlights from people who did hear. So it's hard to know. I definitely think it. You know, the main stage was a big issue this year for in terms of people talked about.
One of those things where
at the Sugar Babes, for example, it was. Yeah, but I think it was like there was no cover on either side. In the middle is fine, and in the middle of the front before the sound desk, always fine. But anywhere back where it's really busy, like Sugar Babes or Caribou, for example, then it's hard to find a place where you can actually really hear what you want to hear. And I think a lot of people have mentioned that as well. So let's have a look what else we said. Oh, this is a what we took from it. Nice festival that it's figuring itself out. Has the charm of some of electric picking before massive commercialization. Although weather is totally out of their control. Walkway management and general flow of the festival didn't seem great. Walking around was annoying on the Saturday. And if it wasn't for the sun on Sunday to dry things up, it was very sunny on Sunday. So that was some saving grace. I should have think that the car parks and exits, what they would have been like. I think there would have been some hairy moments of cars getting out. There was some, actually. From talking to people, Ping Pong Disco was an area I was looking to forward to, but was moved and I barely saw it. I had to go actively looking for it. Some areas like that thrive on general footfall and traffic being guided by naturally. Arcadia was great, but again, I couldn't find it on Friday night, and my friends brought me there on Saturday. Robert Hood was brilliant. Sound bleed was terrible. Lancum had awful bleed that tainted the otherwise amazing set. Sugar Babes, I couldn't hear a thing near the back. Actually thought it was a warm-up band for about 15 minutes until I looked. Having only one major tent is short-sighted at an Irish festival as well. You're playing roulette with the weather. Would have been nice to have some acts that were on the Guinness Lovely stage in a tent instead. I thought the booking on that stage was brilliant, but someone like Barry Can't Swim would have been amazing in a tent. His set was kind of lost outdoors with the sound and the rain. Scratch, Overmono, Caribou, Jamie XX, Lancum, all worth the ticket. Totally not a comment on the festival, but Sniffer Dogs walking through the campsite was a bit scaldy by the Waterford Gardaí. great crowd, liked the vibe from everyone, and didn't see or hear one bit of trouble or aggro. The mini bars was great, were also great. The Rockshore Bar and the Schweppes Bar are really fun. The Last City Cocktail Bar was cool. All in all, we'll be happy to return next year. Another email said, went down on Saturday for 3 p.m. with two kids that didn't fancy the Friday night weather. Good call. No traffic jams, but were sent around the houses to get into the car park. Went past same entrance an hour later. That sounds familiar what I was just saying. Sent to the main car park despite staying at a boutique campsite. Had to traipse through car parks. Main campsite to get to our pod with all the gear. Mud fest took an hour. Mud still ankle deep at 3 p.m. Sunday for some areas. Stage standing areas dangerous, especially the Guinness stage. Bins overflowing from Saturday. The small drinks bandstands were hopping. Highlight for me, Mango and TBL8 Brass in particular were great. 9-year-old wanted to see Iggy Pop, so delighted to get up the front for a great show. Was it muddy? 100%. Did it make traversing the many slopes of ATN a nightmare? For sure. Was as bad as those not there making out to be? Not at all. Could ATN have done more to make walkways more accessible? A lot. Really poor site management. Oh, sorry. That was actually Niall Swan on Twitter who shared a thread of his experiences and thoughts on Twitter as well as at ATN Festival.
So I have a question, Niall.
Yes.
Tell me of the plastic situation. You know, I'm always interested.
Yeah. Are you talking about the bins?
Just bins, cups, reusable cups, cutlery, all that kind of stuff.
No. Reusable cups. Really good. A cleanup crew everywhere in the festival so that everything was clean and bright and no big piles of rubbish on the ground.
But plastic cups for drinks and all that.
No disposable plastic cups and no designated recycling or anything like that. There was big bins, but there wasn't any separated bins at all that I saw anywhere. So, So
get it together, festivals.
Yeah, not one of your favorites anyway. In terms of like things, in terms of festival and sustainability, was something that
just makes,
you know, a lot
it,
of festivals had to be aware
makes
of.
The whole festival feel better when you have like when you're just able to be like, oh, I'm scaldy, yes, but I'm not being scaldy to the earth. The earth is not.
I think they,
being
in fairness, I think I did see all the cups on site were supposedly compostable, if that helps, but it's something. It's not
something.
Plastic,
it's not
plastic.
Ideal, but it's something. Yeah.
Yeah. Niall also says the new Guinness branded Lovely Stage is beautiful, but is bizarrely situated on a steep slope, which is fine for what was previously a tented stage, but changed to an outdoor venue seemingly without any contingency plans was rain was startlingly short-sighted. Gaps. No festival should have its main stage lying empty until late afternoon. This was evident right across the weekend at ATM, but the worst example was some kind of wonderful stage not open till 6 p.m. on a Sunday. Either book more bands or have less stages. Sound. Many sound complaints about issues over the weekend included Sore Corrition, Black Country New Road, and especially Lancome. Tommy Turner's brunch on Saturday was barely audible to anyone.
But in fairness,
Niall
will say it's still the best country.
It's still the country's best festival for me, and I sincerely hope they can repeat what they did between 2019 and 2022. Take on all the feedback, and it'll get over the next couple of weeks. I'm sure some of it is implemented for 2024. So he's still willing to go. A lot of these people, like, you know, I mean, gripes are one thing, and I think this is fair because, like, there's a kind of a balance here because I'm seeing people who had a lot of issues, but people who are happy to go back again. Yeah. So I think that's really interesting.
There's no festival that's perfect. Like,
no festival is perfect.
This festival is only 4 years old, so I hope it doesn't seem like we're being mean or anything. But like, it's
no,
feedback.
But I think it's just, you know, I think it's almost like it's just, I think it's just because people care.
Yeah,
as well. That's why, like, they love this festival and. That's why it means so much, and that's why we're talking about it here, because some comments from the Discord as well. ATN has nailed the vibe. It's so relaxed and chilled out. Thanks in no small part to the crowd and its demographic, and has managed to just about get the size of the festival right. I really enjoyed the whole weekend. There's still tweaks to be made. The sound on the biggest two stages was hit and miss, and it could have done more to make parts of the site less muddy, like bunting straw, wood chipping, or whatever you're having down, especially at the second stage. There are obvious accessibility issues. There was a car stuck in the car park mud on Sunday night with not much help to be had. It'll be interesting to see where they go next. Do they cut back on some of the bigger international names? What did everyone think? So, another comment here from the Discord. I was pretty disappointed with the state of the toilets. Very little maintenance with them, and they were constantly in a state in our campsite. Also, the mud situation was treacherous. They really should have proper paths, wood down. Also found signage very poor, and the sound wasn't great in a couple of acts as well, in particular. In saying that, I strongly consider going next year, depending on the acts announced. Really nice vibe. Came across so many sounders over the weekend and didn't see any hassle. Myself and my friend had trouble setting up our tent, and two couples next to us helped us get it up. Oh. So lovely. So
I love to hear stories like that. I do.
Woke up and saw our tent got egged last night.
Okay, never mind.
Thankfully, thankfully, it was the height of scallywag behavior I came across.
Egg? I feel like if you throw an egg at a tent, it would just like bounce off the tent. Like,
yeah,
you
think.
There's no purchase there with a tent. That's gas.
A wayward egg. A wayward egg.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast,
and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
Another comment from Discord. The cat is sitting on my keyboard here, so he's very currently locked the keyboard. Hello. He always comes in around this time of the day, say hello. It was hardly unexpected in the muck after such bad weather in July. Agreed that the sound was a bit off for some of the acts, Lankham in particular. But that's sometimes just what it's like at a festival. There's a lot of queuing for food, and they ran out of Guinness on the Sunday, apparently. Do you know what? Guinness had a really, like, Guinness was absolutely everywhere, and I have to say, not sponsored content, but doing this because it was really nice. The Guinness was so lovely, and there was loads of 0.0 everywhere. Cream white Guinness, whoever was in charge of that.
Good outdoor Guinness, you know.
At a festival, it was good stout. I think it was really good. By contrast, here's a different kind of comment that we got. My first time, and I did not realize it was that big of a festival. It kind of threw me. Found it hard to get my bearings. There's a lot of stages relative to the amount of programming that's actually on. And the crowd areas for the different stages mostly felt shapeless and vast. Not sure how to describe it. Felt like I did a lot of walking. Having so much of the sight on a slope makes it pretty dicey if it rains early in the weekend. Really enjoyed the scratch and over mono. Ended up leaving Sunday morning pretty done with it all. Further on, on ATN, it feels like it's between two stools. A bigger festival like EP has better organization, very smooth car park organization, a minister for muck who will organize the straw, close off areas, etc. because of its scale and experience. Pod didn't really have to worry about car parks with their urban festivals like Forbidden Fruit or Metropolis, and usually if they can put big concerts on, they're in stadiums with existing facilities and routes. People's goodwill can be tested, as we saw with the ATN traffic mess the first couple of years, so they could do with getting a more organized for issues they fall short on. Had a brilliant weekend at ATN after going to Beyond the Pale. It did really feel like a big festival. I hope they don't increase it anymore. It was definitely enough, borderline too big. I love all the little areas they have around the site. Really lovely spots to wander around. Completely agree that moving Arcadia was a bad call. We barely made it there. So the journey was treacherous and it has been a highlight in previous years. The sound of the main stage was really hit or miss, and there may have seemed to be some delay on the screens that made it look like everyone was lip syncing. Maybe the Sugar Berry was wearing, in fairness. I don't think they were. The lineup was class overall, and enjoyed that Sunday was a little bit less stacked. It's mean more time to relax and enjoy.
Sorry, what was the capacity?
I think it was 28,000, I think.
Oh, it's really big.
I heard. Yeah, big enough. But I think it was like there is plenty of room on the site. And I think maybe that explains why they're moving things around as well. The bottlenecks and stuff. But I didn't encounter a lot of bottlenecks. And I think it's a festival that doesn't book massive, massive main stage acts. And therefore, there isn't this huge, like, thunderous magnetic pull to the main stage, you know. Another comment from Discord from someone who brought their two kids there, who actually left early because it just wasn't suitable because of the mud. We were out early this year, went to the first two ATNs pre-kids, and I thought it was kid-friendly enough, but with muds, crowds, and excessive noise from concession tents, we think it's not really sane to call it family-friendly anymore. A good festival for the more robust crowd. I like their lineup. I think the ground plan was better in the past, and someone needs to design the soundscape a bit more. Too many 100 decibel sounds in too many competing areas. Right, and here's some general comments from the 199 replies on my Insta post. Some highlights in terms of bands: Sugar Babes, Iggy Pop, Ezra Collective, Caribou, Lisa O'Neill, Lankham, Sinead O'Connor tributes from Saint Sister, Villagers, Sing Along, Jesse Ware, Lord. Somebody said Lord's set was an almost a religious experience.
I heard her set was awful. I heard she was terrible.
Yeah, I heard that too. So you just never know.
You just don't know.
Jamie XX, Laboom, Mango, Scratch, New Jackson playing Panksty, Kelly Leons, James Murphy's DJ set, Kojak, who did a special guest set on Sunday afternoon, which is the only real thing I saw. Here's some specific comments. The high quality of dance, pop, and trad. I'm convinced we're in folk revival 2.0, says Aina. Parking and entrance was good, but complaints from families about the long walk between family camping and the car park. The That's crowd got a lot of mentions. Crowd got a lot of mentions for friendliness as well. I love the attention to detail in Arcadia, fire dragon, lasers, pole dancing, robots, great DJs, and then some lowlights, lack of bins, mud, sound issues across the weekend, especially the main arena, no sound at either main side of the main stage, quite muffled. Same with some kind of wonderful, for Lancome in particular. Overflowing toilets was mentioned, empty hand sanitizers. I didn't see a single hand sanitizer that was usable, or didn't tried many but didn't get any out of it. Lack of water stations was mentioned a lot on Instagram as well. A lot of people said that, especially as they were encouraging to bring, you know, reusable bottles. There wasn't, there's never enough water points, there's never enough toilets either. Somebody said, and I feel sorry for this person because I could have been that person, looking at shuttle times after my tent got destroyed at 6 a.m. on a Saturday morning.
I know the looking at shuttle times thing from last year, and they're very, very confusing. Yeah. What you need to do is just walk out to the exit and talk to the nice men and get a taxi into Waterford. That's what you have to do. And that's what I did last year. And yeah. I shared a taxi with a really, really nice girl. And the two of us just spent the whole time just being like, we're too old for this. We're too old for this. Yeah, both yeah. like 30.
You're really not though.
No, definitely not. But it was, I felt it in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. A couple of, stop hitting the thing, will you? Look at this. Lad.
It was International Cat Day yesterday. So he's looking for... Hello, Vivi. Yeah,
he's been nonstop looking for attention this
Which
week.
One is this?
This is Bua.
Bua, hello. What do you want?
His eyes are better now. He's had sore eyes for the last 3 weeks.
No.
I don't know what he's looking at. I don't know what he wants.
He's just enjoying looking at stuff with his new eyes.
Pissing me off. Sticking his bum in my face.
But exactly in your face.
What are you looking at, you know?
That's me. Hi. Hello.
Okay. This is podcasting.
This is podcasting.
All right. Okay. That's our preview clip for this week.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah. Something else that was echoed a number of times on Instagram particularly was a lack of artwork around the place, lack of art pieces.
Oh.
And places to sit and chill. And
every festival needs more places to sit down and chill. Like when you've just come from the main stage, you're not quite ready to go back to the campsite,
especially
yet.
When there's mud.
Yeah, you just need yeah. to sit, for God's sake, you know.
Just need to like build like areas that sit there the entire year where you can kind
yeah.
of, you know, always have them.
Just and then wood, it's, wooden chairs and yeah. tables, like they're pretty sturdy. Yeah.
Apparently the cobblestone session was shut down on Sunday night due to overcrowding at the Sinead O'Connor tribute. I had a number of messages about that.
Wow.
Because basically they projected onto the house on Sunday night, and with the area down there being hosting a trad session from the cobblestone, the Len Collective got pulled off, and then they went back on afterwards without the PA and all this kind of stuff.
That's a shame.
I think there was a bit of anger there about being turned off, which is you know, understandable, and again down to bad planning and poor management in that way. But look, most of the comments here overwhelmingly positive, despite I think it's a testament to the Irish people that even though we had that much mud and that and much annoying situations, like we persist and we enjoy
We're
ourselves
hardy
no matter
people.
What. So we can do that. And then like there's, you know, there's things that we are annoyed about, but you know, ultimately we like to knock the crack out of things, and you can certainly knock the crack out of things when you're hanging around in mud all weekend. And when the Sunday comes around and the sun starts shining, that's what you remember the most.
The best thing about festivals is becoming like a cloud expert and just spending the whole day looking up at the sky, just going, no, that's not a rain cloud. I'm telling you now, that's not a rain cloud. We'll be fine.
I think this summer was the year I became an expert at rain millimeter
estimations.
The amount of rain.
Yeah.
Yeah. With like when you look at, you're like, no, that's not as much rain as you think now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about that too much.
No, don't worry about that cloud. That'll be gone by 2 o'clock. Don't you worry.
You could be wrong, but sure, look, it's the fun of it anyway.
We all become like professional shepherds. At festivals. I'm just like, no, I can smell it in the air. Rain is coming. Yeah. Will we talk
about
it?
It did rain again on Sunday a tiny bit, but yeah.
Will we talk about our
revolution?
Have
something you wanted to... Yeah, yeah. So something that was brought up in the Discord, something that you've mentioned before.
Yeah, something that...
See, which I don't think was available at this festival.
No, so...
Something Andrea would like to see more at festivals.
Yeah, and now I'm really happy because in the Discord we were talking about it and it seems like other people want it as well. And if you have two or more people who want something, you have a revolution. Okay. Okay, so the reason why I don't go to festivals very often, and if I do, I go to quite like geared towards older crowds and quite small, is not because of necessarily crowds at like the main stages or anything or in the tents. It's that when I can't sleep or go to sleep, I just become extremely anxious. And I think like festivals are already a situation in which like most people feel like a little bit anxious at one stage or another during a festival. But what I would love to see, like the family camping, is a quiet camping section. And it can be beside the family camping section. You can lump us all into kind of relatively into one or beside one another. And I think it would mean that it's better accessibility for people who, like, you know, like for even like medical reasons, just need to be away from noise at nighttime, need their sleep, whatever it might be. But also for neurodivergent people who get a bit overwhelmed with noise, and who might become anxious or overwhelmed if they don't have a space to go to that is quiet. It doesn't have to be silent, you know, but just some rules around like maybe shut off the music at like midnight, you know, that sort of thing. And yeah, talking to a couple of people in the Discord about it, and we all seem to share a similar kind of feeling of I will fight for your right to play horrendous techno music until 9 in the morning. I just don't want to be beside you while you're doing it. I just can't do it. And I think that it would make festivals a lot more open to a lot more people, because there isn't just one festival experience. And I think what's so great in particular about Irish festivals is that if you're someone who doesn't drink or doesn't, you know, party all night or anything, there is loads of stuff to do during the day and there's loads of stuff to do in the morning. And they try to have it as kind of a holistic experience where if you don't drink or whatever, you can still go and have a great time. And I think that having a quiet campsite where people can get a good night's sleep and get up early and enjoy all the great stuff that they're putting on, like yoga or talks that are going on early in the morning or coffee or whatever it might be, would really open up the festival experience to people who might be anxious to go because they don't feel like it's for them anymore, you know? So that's my little piece. If anyone feels the same way, tell me, and you know, we can talk to some festivals. We can try and see what we can do. We can try and see if we can make something happen. And if you're from a festival, if you work at a festival, get in touch with me. I'd love to talk to you about it, about making things a bit more accessible for people who get a bit scared. So,
well, in fairness, I think a lot of UK festivals, on a cursory Google search there with quiet camping, have shown themselves to have a quiet camping area. Wilderness Festival, End of the Road has one, as well as Family Download Festival has one as well. So there's quite a lot of festivals that have it already. So
I don't see any reason why I can't have more of it. And I'd love to, if anyone's been to a quiet camping section in the festival, let us know. And yeah, I'd love to hear about it because it's something that I do love festivals. I do, but the reason I don't go is because I find the camping very overwhelming. And if I can't sleep, then I'm just worried all night, and then I'll just end up getting a bus home at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, which is what happened last year. So yeah.
I think it's not that hard to do. I think, some festivals offer a limited amount of tickets for a quiet camping area, which are probably beside the camping area usually. So
yeah,
it is something that is very obvious. And, you know, I mean, I think we've seen that a lot more in at gigs, really. But it's yet to translate here, as well as, like, it should just be a part of all of the offerings in terms of.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be boutique camping. Like, we don't want to have to take away, you know, the opportunity to party from the boutique people. They've paid a lot of money. But just an area where there's not, I know that there was somebody, I can't remember who it was, in the Discord talking about how all the, like, the food vans and the burger vans are constantly playing, like, really, really loud, like, high BPM music at all times. And often that goes on quite late in the campsite and starts really early in campsites as well, which I think is just so counterintuitive. And so even just stuff like that, an area where that kind of stuff isn't going on, an area where if you need to just go and, like, decompress and talk yourself down from an anxiety attack or whatever it might be, just go and chill for an hour before you head back into the main arena. I think it would be really nice to have a small area where that's the case, and the tickets should be the same price. I'm going to say that as well.
Absolutely. Okay, great. Well, that's our altogether now festival check-in. Thanks to everybody who sent us emails, responses, replies, whatever it is, appreciate it. I think it shows that people really care about that festival as well.
Yeah.
And it's always, it is a big one now after 4 years in. It certainly is. So I think that's why people care about these things. So I know that the organizers have already asked for feedback as well. So good to see that as well. So,
and is it just Electric Picnic left now?
Well, big one. Yeah. I mean, one of my favorites of the summer is coming up next weekend,
another
love story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is probably for people who, like yourself, I mean, you've been last year.
Yeah. I loved it.
You can definitely find quiet areas there. And I think generally it's a quieter vibe. You don't get a lot of music in the campsites.
It's a lovely
place. But yeah, it is a smaller place.
Yeah. You'll be walking around and you'll be like, I've passed that man 6 times today. Like, it's a community kind of festival. It's gorgeous. Yeah, I really, really love
think that's
another
fair
love story.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going back there. That'll be that, and then for me, Electric Picnic, possibly that's the last field one. I'm doing the Bacardi DJ set at Bacardi on the Friday night, so that'll be fun. But I don't think I'm staying there the entire weekend. Anyway, I'm at the age now where none of my friends want to go to festivals anymore. So that's part of it.
Yeah.
So, yep. But yeah, so look, that was all together now. I still feel like we're in summer mode myself a little bit. Do you know what I mean? So
I don't know. I saw a leaf fairly the other day, Niall, and it was crunchy.
What?
I saw a leaf the other day and it was crunchy. I was like, oh, here we go, lads. It's coming.
Okay. All right. Well, it's 24 degrees today.
Yeah, it's too hot.
It's too hot.
I need to be in other sunshine voices mode. That's what I want.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my festival.
Looking forward to that.
Me too.
Okay. Thanks for listening to the 99 podcast. If you want to join us and in the conversations on Discord about festivals and whatnot, the way to do that is to sign up from a fiver a month from patreon.com/909. That helps support the running costs of 909 and all of the associated various expenditure that we have to do to keep this thing running as a viable website and everything else and podcast. So would appreciate that if you have a fiver spare and you appreciate what we do. I actually met loads of people over the weekend at Altogether Now personally who were saying nice things to me. Aww. And so I appreciate that. People who supported the Patreon and it was nice. We actually had a Discord meetup as well, which was lovely.
That was one of the best things about the festival. Bloody meetups.
Yeah, I think that's the third one we've done.
Meet me in the bathroom, this, and then I think there was a kind of an ad hoc one in a bar. Lumo. It would have been Lumo.
It was, that's four then. That's, the Merchy Christmas as well was the other one.
Yeah.
So that was nice. So lovely to do that, actually. Would give you a, you know, if you're the kind of person that ends up being on Twitter all the time or hearing about Twitter all the time, or X as it's called, and you're like, why do people do this to themselves? Come and join the Discord and just have a nice chat with people. It's great. People can be nice, guys.
I'm
going to
do a
it's
fantasy
possible
football this year because of the Discord.
Oh, are you going to do
yeah,
it?
I think
yeah.
So.
Oh, so am I. Yeah. I'm actually
scared.
we're doing a Discord fantasy football league. kicking off Friday, I think. So
I'm furious that I'm not allowed to pick, like, what did I want? 9 centre forwards and 2 goalies. can't believe I'm not allowed to do
that. Yeah, it kind of defeats the purpose. Kind of defeats the purpose of it.
Stupid. That, well, see, if I was a real manager, that's what I'd do. So, you know, I'll make my
I'd
own.
I'd love to see how that goes.
Yeah. But yeah,
are you watching any of the Women's World Cup at the moment?
Oh yeah, yeah, betting. Yeah. I still have my girlies. I'm in a sweepstakes. I had Ireland, so obviously kind of double heartbreak for me when they went out. But I also have the Netherlands, who are still fighting strong. So I believe are they playing today?
I don't think anything's on today. I think it's Friday before there's another match on, I think.
Oh,
I believe.
Oh, yeah, Friday. So yeah. Yeah, I'm loving the Women's World Cup. Absolutely loving it. It's great. And there's I followed these girls on TikTok who are going through all the like behind the scenes drama, because it's women's football. There are tons and tons of gay women involved in the World Cup, and they're all dating each other, and they're all breaking up with each other, and there's loads of drama. So it's like it's got this whole other dimension as well, which is a lot of fun. So yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Sweet. All right. That's it from the 99 podcast. Talk to you next week. Thanks, Andrea.
Thanks, Niall. Bye.
Thanks, Bua. Bye.
Thanks, Bua.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.